We'll be in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, through which he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, in which he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Excuse me. Shall we pray together? Loving Father, as we read concerning our place and position in Christ, as we consider these wonderful truths, we pray, Father, that you will bless us and encourage us in our walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. As we look at this passage this morning, we want to consider the words of the Apostle as he talks about those who are faithful saints in Christ. But we find that he uses this phrase in the very first verse in Ephesians, saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. As we look at the beginning of this chapter, we find in verse 1 and 2 this word of introduction, if you will, that Paul speaks of concerning himself, and he speaks concerning the church. And we find that the church at Ephesus was a church that was truly a well-known church, a church which was well-grounded in the Word of God, and that the Apostle begins to speak to them about their position in Christ and their hope of things to come in Christ, even their redemption, and he says, unto the praise of his glory. And so, as much as the body of Christ makes up much of the theme of what the apostle has to say, we find that there are many personal things that are spoken about as well as concerning the church at Ephesus and as concerning the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning believers. In the introduction, he begins with a word of himself, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. All those who are in Christ Jesus are called of God, as he goes on to speak of our being predestinated and chosen and called by the good pleasure of his will. And so Paul could say the same thing about himself, of course, and of that particular calling that he had, that he was called to be an apostle, one who was sent, as the word apostle means to be sent. And we find that Paul did not consider himself to be any less of an apostle than the other apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the exception of Judas being the betrayer among them. And Matthias was chosen to take Judas's place. But it's interesting that we do not hear much about Matthias in the epistles at all. And we find that in church history there is some mention of him, but Paul seems to be the one that is chosen of God, and Matthias is the one that is chosen of men. And we find that though Matthias may have been a fine Christian person and believer and may have truly served the Lord well, we find that the calling which was sent forth by the Lord to the Apostle Paul, and that he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, was a calling which truly was a very high calling indeed. And so he gives word to the Ephesian church, as he does to others, as it is believed that this particular epistle may have been a circulating letter or epistle unto various churches. Some of the manuscripts even omit the phrase, who are at Ephesus. Other manuscripts include that, and it may be because that this was a circulating epistle to the various churches, but by the time, or maybe because it was first delivered to Ephesus, the phrase, who are at Ephesus, we find included. But either way, there is no error in doing so. Obviously, Paul meant for this epistle to be read among the churches, and that it should not be taken exclusively just for the church at Ephesus, though Ephesus is mentioned here. And the doctrines of it and the teachings of it, of course, are just as pertinent to us today and important to our understanding of what God means for us to be as faithful in Christ Jesus, faithful saints in Christ. And so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. By the will of God. Paul, of course, was called on the road to Damascus. He was called by the Lord himself. And as much as he was being commissioned at the time to go to persecute the believers, we find that the tables turned very quickly as God struck him down, caused him to be blind, as it were, sent him unto a certain man, Ananias, in a street called Straight, and that he would be forever changed because of the appointment that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ, and of one who would become very instrumental in helping him see his present condition. Yes, God called Paul to be the man that he would become, a man of God, and that he would leave behind forever his former commissioning to persecute the followers of the way, and that he would now become a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And as we read a little bit earlier concerning the first chapter of the book of Galatians, Paul writes how that he was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to carry the message of Christ, and that that message was not a message of man, but it was a message given by God, and it is one that we ourselves should also take very seriously, and not to alter in any way, but to give it entirely just as God intended it to be given, of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, and those doctrines which accompany his death, burial, and resurrection, even his atonement for our sins, and that he was wounded for our transgressions, even as the book of Isaiah tells us. And so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus. And so he wrote this epistle to the saints at Ephesus. And as it was read out, not only at Ephesus, but perhaps at other churches, and no doubt was, we find that he includes, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so we find that the church at Ephesus was made up of faithful believers, made up of saints, that is, those who are called of God. As the letter is addressed to saints, to those residing at Ephesus, and as the word saints means to be called holy ones, or holy, we find that these believers were to be holy to God, and they were called of God, set apart by God, to be those faithful believers, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so that phrase further then defines what it means to be saints. Saints are faithful in Christ Jesus. Saints are those holy ones of God. Saints are those who are called of God. Saints are those who are believing Christians and are faithful in Christ Jesus. And so this term is descriptive to us of those in the church, faithful in Christ Jesus, descriptive of believers who love the Lord and would serve him, faithful and descriptive of those in the body of Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we find that he further extends, if you will, the sense of his introduction to them at Ephesus, saying, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And so in the second verse, we find that he mentions grace. Grace, of course, is a very wonderful word. It is one which speaks to us of greeting, but yet at the same time it speaks to us of divine favor. That is God's divine favor toward us. And so it is that this grace is very important to the church, because the church is saved by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And so the church being saved by grace is a church which are made up of believers in Christ, and it is a church which is to be faithful in Christ. Grace be to you, he says. Grace be to you. And so as he brings this greeting to them at Ephesus, he brings another word as well, which is a companion word to grace, and he says, and peace. Grace and peace. And as much as the idea of the word for grace means to have favor toward someone, and so it is that God's grace toward us is his favor, we find that peace is likewise a word which is very much relational to us in Christ. Grace be to you and peace. In fact, we would say that because God has given us his grace, then we are known to be a people of God who are at peace. At peace, showing that we have a certain condition, faith, and standing in Christ concerning our relationship with him. And so the grace of God and the peace of God is very much companion words. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that in his introductory words then, he uses these terms which connect us unto the Lord. And not only unto the Lord, but unto the Father. As he brings this greeting of grace and the greeting of peace, he says, from God our Father. Well, of course, we find that Paul did not give grace unto the church. He was only greeting them in grace. He did not give peace to the church. He was only greeting them with peace. But it came from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we find that Paul even shows that Jesus and God the Father are on the same level, equal, in the sense that they are both within the Godhead. And the grace and the peace of God, he says, is yours because of God the Father. And it is from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we would say, we would not know the grace of God the Father or the peace that we have with God the Father except it be by Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can know that we have that peace and grace. It comes through Jesus Christ. And it shows this divine connection of the Godhead and how that we are recipients of that grace and peace, and how that we would not have obtained it if it were not for God the Son, and how that God the Son has played this significant role in bringing to us this grace and peace of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul puts the emphasis where it belongs, and he puts the peace and grace of God by blessing, as it were, by evidence that they are faithful in Christ Jesus, and he introduces himself to them, and he commends them upon the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now, thirdly, in the third verse here, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this sense, we would say that there is a provisional blessing which he is speaking about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So three times the word blessed is being used. And many times, by way of an example, we might say a blessing is kind of like a eulogy. When you come to a funeral, sometimes the pastor will give a eulogy. And he will give a kind of a word of blessing about the individual who has passed on. And especially if it happens to be a Christian, then many kind and gracious things may be said because of their faith in Christ Jesus. And interesting, we get the word eulogy from this word, which means blessed or blessing. This word has a different ending and may have, as it happens to be used, but it is the same word which we get our word eulogy from. And so it is a blessing. And so he brings this blessing here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, he blesses God the Father. He speaks also here of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we find in the verse that he says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And so we find that our spiritual blessings come from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is a definite relational aspect to the Godhead, and we find that he uses the terminology like that. Blessed be God the Father. So he's speaking about how that we should bless the name of God the Father. And then he says, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And so our spiritual blessings come through God the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those are blessings. And we find that he adds another word to it here. He says spiritual. Now, it is one thing to bless somebody in a secular manner, but it's quite another thing to bless somebody spiritually. And from what we understand in the Word of God, only true spiritual blessings can come from God the Father. And in our case, as we find in the New Testament, and even borne out in the Old Testament, we find that the blessings which God gave to his people were connected to Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is our blessing, and he is not only our blessing generally, he is our blessing spiritually. And so he speaks of that, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And then he adds to it, in heavenly places in Christ. And so the spiritual blessings are also kind of defined a little bit more for us, saying that these spiritual blessings are not only now, as Paul might speak of them, but they are also to be spoken of as heavenly, in the heavens, positionally in Christ Jesus. And so we have blessings in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we talk about things as being a blessing. We may say, well, I've got a new car. It was such a blessing to have a new car. Or we might say, well, I was able to get a good report from the doctor when I went to see the doctor. It was such a blessing to have a good report from the doctor. Or we might say, I saw my grandchildren, and it was such a great blessing to see my grandchildren. Well, those are nice blessings, and we may certainly attribute those to God and his working in our lives and how that he provides or how that he does meet needs or provide things that we enjoy or bless us with relations or circumstances. But the blessings which are in heavenly places are alone to be attributed to us by Jesus Christ in God the Father. Our blessings in the heavenly sense, are ours because we are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. And so they are far beyond the natural blessings which we might say we enjoy, or somehow are conferred upon us, or those things which we attribute to some aspect of being blessed of God here in our daily walk while we are upon the earth. And so the spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. They are in Christ Jesus. If you want to tangibly look at those blessings, then you have to consider Christ and what he has done for you. Because those blessings which are in Christ are the ones which you will be able to take with you. You know, sometimes we talk about how we won't be able to take anything with us when we go to be with the Lord. That we'll leave behind possessions, and we'll leave behind family, and we'll leave behind various material things, and things that are of some particular worth to us down here while we are on the earth. But the spiritual blessings, in a sense, you will be able to take with you. They are laid up for us in heaven. The spiritual blessings are laid up for us in heaven. Right now, we even enjoy those spiritual blessings by faith. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And so by faith, he looked ahead to those spiritual blessings. He realized that he had them already. He was anticipating those spiritual blessings that he would receive. But he had not yet gone to claim them, so to speak. Well, we have certain blessings right now that are spiritual blessings to us. The blessing of faith, the blessing of grace, the blessing of the peace of God, the blessing of the love of God in our hearts, blessings of his word and promises that he gives to us. We have all kinds of blessings right now. When we go to be with the Lord, yes, those things will be made known unto us in a much greater way, and we will fully able to enjoy those heavenly blessings which are laid up for us positionally in Christ Jesus. And they are not blessings that we have somehow created, but rather God has freely given to us by his divine favor, by his grace, as his favor is made known unto us. And so to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Now these words are wonderful words for us to think about, to reflect upon, and to take in, for they remind us of truly how great the grace of God is toward us and of his calling to all those who are called of God and are known as faithful in Christ Jesus. They are your blessings this morning. I trust that you realize that and enjoy them in Christ. Shall we pray together? Loving Father, we do thank you for your blessings, for your spiritual blessings, for your blessings in heavenly places which you have bestowed upon us. And they are blessings because we are in Christ Jesus. We are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray, encourage us in our walk of faith and labor of love in Jesus Christ, that we will prove ourselves to be all that you want us to be here while we await our heavenly place in the heavenlies and the spiritual blessings that shall accompany us. In Jesus' name, amen.